We're at the Integrated Crop Management Conference in Ames today. We're going to talk with Bob Hartzler, Extension Weed Specialist here at Iowa State. And Bob, wanted to get your latest thoughts on dicamba. Now, we've had a while to digest the federal label that EPA put out. As you've looked at that, give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I guess I'm still concerned that it doesn't address the volatility issue. You know, there are some distinct improvements over what it was. It's a lot easier to interpret exactly what they mean. But, you know, they made restrictions in terms of hours of days, hours of the day that's available. And one of the problems is with the wind speed restrictions, we have so few hours available when it's legal to apply, and now they've limited that even more. It just puts the applicators in a really difficult position. They have acres to cover. And in my opinion, there's just not enough hours in the day that it's legal to actually get the job done.
You're making some recommendations for Iowa here on what you'd like to see growers and applicators practice.
Yeah, because we don't feel like the volatility issue has been solved, we think the only way we can minimize that is with pre-emergence applications. Those are made during early in the spring when temperatures are cooler, and so less likelihood of the volatility. The problem with that and why nobody wants to go that route is it just destroys the value of the dicamba in managing water hemp. That's what 95% of the growers want out of the technology. So, you know, for growers who, you know, feel like they really need the dicamba to help them manage the weeds, then we'd really like to see them, you know, go with early post-emergence applications. You know, the current label allows up to R1. We'd like to see it done before the R3, or before the V3 stage. That's usually going to be cooler temperatures. Plants outside of the field are going to be a less susceptible stage, and so I think it's going to be a lot safer. With that application, you're going to have late emerging weeds be a problem, and so in almost all fields, you'd probably need to add a group 15 herbicide, a layered residual, to extend your control until the crop canopy develops. Be aware of your surroundings. You know, the label, you know, states very clearly it's the applicator's responsibility to scout the field before application to determine what sensitive plants are in the area, and that's really key. You just can't show up to the field ready to spray. You have to know, you know, what sensitive crops are in the area and pay attention to the wind speed.
You made the comment today that weed management needs to be about seed bank management as opposed to crop production.
Yeah, so, you know, there's two reasons we control weeds. One is to protect the crop yields, and that's what everybody thinks about. But the other needs to be to reduce the size of the seed bank. And as resistance has spread, where it's become more difficult to get full season control, we just have a lot of growers who tolerate, you know, non-economic infestations of late emerging water hemp because they're not affecting the yield. They don't affect the efficiency of harvest. So they just let these, you know, late emerging water hemp survive because they don't affect the bottom line in the short run. But those are producing thousands of seeds that build up the seed bank. That makes it more difficult to obtain effective control in following years, but it also greatly increases the likelihood of new resistant traits showing up in the field. So, you know, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, you know, all farmers realized if they didn't control their weeds this year, they're going to have a hard time in future years. The effectiveness of modern herbicides has sort of deleted that from our memory, but we need to get back to that approach.
You're going to talk tomorrow about some new technology that might have some promise helping us down the road.
Right. The Australians, they've had the herbicide resistance problem for like 20 years that we're just starting to get now. So they've really led the way in the development of new tools. And so they practice what is referred to as harvest weed seed control. And, you know, surveys of their farmers indicate about 70% of their farmers are using some version of harvest weed seed control, where we try to destroy the weed seeds before they get into the seed bank. And they use lots of different approaches, but the one that probably works best for us here would be tools that are attached to the combine that grind the weed seeds as they move through the combine. and they've had some significant advances the past 4 or 5 years. It's being adopted by the growers in Australia. I think at this point in time, there's still a lot of bugs to be worked out. And so our resistance problems aren't bad enough yet that most of our farmers wouldn't be willing to put up with the headaches. But these things are just in the infancy of development. So I think in 3 or 4 years, a lot of these bugs are going to be solved, and they will be a very viable tool. And this would really help us in our fight against resistance, because anything you can do to prevent those weeds, weed seed from getting in the seed bank are going to greatly simplify things.